This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right, what's up, everybody? I'm only slightly disappointed that, like, when the bass drops, I don't see, like, hands just... But it's cool. It's all good. Hey, we're so glad you guys are here with us this morning. We're continuing our series. We're actually wrapping up our series called TLC. So you guys know in February we do relationship series. So I guess after this month, nobody cares about your relationships. I'm kidding. We know that relationships can be a struggle, right? So we take some time each year to spend a few weeks. Hey, here are some things that we can do to make sure we have the strongest, healthiest, godliest relationships that we can have. And we talk about it, you know, periodically throughout the year as well, but we really focus on it during the month of love. Y'all see that? Love. All right. They're good, man. They're good. Hey, before we jump into it, I want to do something really quick. I have a friend here this morning. Where's Pastor Brian at? Pastor Brian? Hey, I've known this guy for probably, I don't know, 10, 12 years. He started a church 17 years ago in Longview called Life Point Church. And it's been an incredible church. In fact, I've never told you this. You don't know this, so this is going to be awkward for everybody. You were one of the first people in this area to do church differently. And man, that gave us some audacity to do church the way that we do church. So you are a pioneer, and we appreciate you, man. Mad respect. And he heard this place is nuts, so he wanted to see it with his own eyes. So glad you're here. Your family's here. You guys are awesome. So like I said, we're continuing the series this week called TLC. And so we could have done just the typical and obvious and talked about tender, loving care, which is good. You know, it's important. That's a very essential part of the relationships being all that we want them to be, all that God wants them to be. But we decided that we were going to add some depth to it, some other layers to it. So we started talking about, we kind of created our own acronym. The first week, Shelley preached, and you guys found out what I've been telling you for years, that I am the second best preacher in my house. In my house. Like, I can't even out-preach anybody in my house. And so it's just, you know, talk about a strike on your confidence. So anyway, it was incredible. And so she talked about some of the things that we have to watch out for in relationships, things that would keep them from becoming all that they can be. And then we started in our own kind of acronym of TLC. The first week we talked about the T, we called it the towel, and kind of two different angles to that. One is like, hey, why are we so quick to throw in the towel on relationships? And it's like, hey, what if we didn't even have a towel to throw in? What if we were committed to each other to the point or to the degree that it wasn't even an option to quit? And unfortunately, I feel like we've got, like, we're trigger happy, right? We've got this quick draw mentality where it's like, hey, as soon as there's a sign of trouble or struggle, or you don't think like I think, or maybe we have a disagreement or a difference, here's the towel, I'm done with you. And we're actually going to talk a little bit more about that today. So we talked about that. And then also kind of the other angle of the towel was that we take up the towel to serve each other like Jesus did. Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. No one else in all of creation deserves more credit, glory, and attention and honor than he did. And yet he humbled himself, he lowered himself, he stooped down to serve us. And so he took up his towel to serve, and so we should take up ours to serve each other as well. So that was the T. And then last week we talked about the L, the other L. And the first one is kind of the obvious L, right? Loyalty, which again, we said it was a unicorn. Like, we hear a lot about it, we just don't see a lot of it, right? So loyalty. And then in order for our relationships to be what God wants them to be, what we aspire for them to be, there has to be loyalty. And it rhymes, so it's got to be true. And then the other less obvious L was leniency, because y'all know what we do. And man, I'm probably the world's worst about this. Now, I don't always vocalize this, but I always think this. I always understand why I do what I do, but I can't figure out for the life of me why you do the dumb things you do. Right? Does anybody else ever think like that? Like, what are you thinking? What are you doing? But if we just had some grace with each other, some leniency with each other, man, I think that would go a long way in helping us to, one, understand maybe a little bit. Like, once you understand somebody's story, you understand their process. Once you understand where they're coming from, where they've come from, you understand where they're coming from. Once you know what they've been through, you kind of understand, you start to understand at least. Maybe it doesn't justify it. Maybe you can't fully grasp it, but you at least, to a degree, start to understand it. And so we talked about leniency last week. In fact, one of my friends texted me this week. He was like, hey, I just want you to know, I've been trying to show leniency. This was on Monday, right? But ain't nobody making it easy, right? I'm out here trying to be lenient, and nobody's helping me do that. And what I love about this is that, hey, we're getting to figure this stuff out together, right? We're all kind of, well, I'm a work in progress. And I know some of you, and I know your work's in progress. Now, if you're not, if you're a masterpiece, there are probably other places that you would fit just a little bit better, right? Because we're not there. So this week, let's talk about the C in TLC. We're going to wrap it up. And kind of the same model from last week, we're going to have one that's pretty obvious and then one that is less so. Let's jump in to the obvious C. In fact, that's the name of the point. It's called the obvious C. I thought about giving it a clever title, but that would just be too obvious. Right? That'd just be way too obvious. So the first C in our acronym for TLC that we're going to look at is, and again, this is so obvious, we all know this, is commitment. 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 Right? We talked about this a little bit, kind of a similar vein of thought. When you talk about loyalty and not quitting when you don't throw in the towel, I mean, aren't those variations of the same idea, same topic? But it's crazy that as much as we talk about it, we still struggle with it. As much as we know that it is an essential part of any strong and healthy relationship, we still see so little of it, right? There people are more committed to ideas than they are each other. People are more committed. We'll get there in a minute. I was fitting to start coming at you, but we'll do that in a minute. And we won't spend too much time on this because it's pretty self-explanatory, right? Like, think about it in terms, how many of you, now, this is kind of, over the last couple of years, there's been a spike, a rise in people's interest in the stock market, like apps like Webull and Robinhood and everybody. Now, everybody is an investor, and everybody's got a hot stock tip for you. And the ones it'll tell you are the ones that you don't need to listen to. That's just the way that you should think about this. But anybody that's kind of associated with the financial industry or that sector, they will always tell you that in order for you to see the greatest return on your investment, you have to be committed to it. You can't put some in and take some out, and put some in and take some out, and you're like, oh, it did so good, I'm going to take it all out, and you don't realize the way that compounding interest works unless you're committed to that investment. And it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. Like, that is a one in a million chance, right? Most of the time, you're successful and you accumulate wealth over the course of years and years and years, and 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and then you actually start to see the return on your investment. Without the commitment, you don't see the return on your investment. In your relationships, like if you quit, if you don't commit to it, if you're not in it for the long haul, then you don't really get to experience a lot of those things. Like Shelly and I, we've been married since we were, I don't know, 2, 3 maybe. It feels like that. And now it's man, there's a level that you get to where it's like you don't necessarily have to go back and kind of like understand everything that you already understand because you already understand everything. Does that make sense? There are certain things that I don't have to, like, she just knows because we've been together for so long. She reads my mind. It's fantastic. I still haven't figured hers out. I'm a little slower than she is, right? But I think you get to a point, like everybody, we're so kind of, I think, guilty of this societally where we say, oh, you know, man, marriage is hard and it just gets harder. When this is the honeymoon phase and we'll just wait till that's over. And then, you know, it's like, best of luck to you, right? And I don't want to ever dismiss the fact that it's work or that it has its challenges, but it also gets better the longer you're in it, the more committed to it that you are, the more you get to experience from it. So that's why commitment is so important. Listen to this. Romans chapter 12, verses 16 through 18, it says this. Live in harmony with one another. And it's like we could just stop right there and, I don't, you know, spend the next 50 years probably. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. That's something, and it's not really necessarily related to what we're talking about today, But man, isn't that a message kind of for the world that we live in? Because everybody is posturing, right? Everybody is trying to butter up to somebody who's maybe just a little bit further along than they are so that they can, you know, hitch their wagon to them and see some greater level of success. I heard a story one time. There was a guy who is an elected official in the state of Texas. Like, if I said his name, you would know who he is. And why is everybody getting like you know what I'm talking about? You don't know what I'm talking about. I didn't say what era. I didn't say when. I mean, this could have been, you know, years ago. It was. So anyway, geez. So they were at this big, you know, highfalutin. It was probably a campaign fundraiser type event. A lot of people there who are, you know, well-to-do, and they're all, you know, rubbing elbows and whatever. And so they're wearing name tags. And so this guy, who was the one that the campaign thing was for, comes up to this individual that I know and sees his name tag. He kind of walks up to him. He looks at his name tag and he's like, "Oh, you're nobody," and walks off. And I was like, "You'll find out. Nobody's got some hands too, bro. Finna find out." It wasn't me. But unfortunately, now that's an extreme example, right? But I think a lot of times people, that's how we treat people. We're like, "Oh, you can't do anything for me. You're nobody." Right? Oh, you can't further my agenda. You're nobody. Right? You don't matter because you can't directly benefit me. Don't be proud. Be humble. Be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Verse 18. And really, we're kind of bookending here. It's the first part of this passage and the last part of this passage that I really wanted to focus on, which is live in harmony with one another. In verse 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So you have these ideas of, hey, let's live in harmony with each other. And then it's kind of followed up with, hey, if it's possible, like as much as it depends on you, in order for you to have peace and experience peace in your relationships, do everything in your power to see that come to fruition, to see that come to pass. And what I've always found fascinating by this is, like, Paul wouldn't have put that in there if he knew that relationships weren't going to be a struggle. He wouldn't have said, hey, listen, if do everything that it takes for you to do. Be fully committed to this thing. Everything that you can possibly do to make it right, to make it good, to make it peaceful, that's what you're going to have to do. He wouldn't have given us that insight if there weren't going to be situations where we needed that insight, right? I think that he understood relationships can be a struggle. They can be hard. And there are times where peace isn't the default. Like comment sections on social media posts. I'm like, where do you people come from? Like, they're among us. They live in society with us. But they don't have the same audacity in public that they do behind the safety of their IP address and their keyboard. But that's cool. Because, you know, people are real brave. And talking about your mama and stuff when they're sitting behind the keyboard and they see you in public, and ain't nothing like that, right? Ain't nothing like that. Here's the thing. Inevitably, we're going to have times and topics that we disagree about. We're going to have things that we just see differently, but we need to be committed to each other in spite of that. Here's the expression. For whatever reason, do you guys have things that kind of pop into your head sometimes and you just can't shake it? You can't get it off your head, off your heart, right? And one of the things that, I guess the phrase around this that I've been thinking about the last few weeks is this, is that I am fully committed to you even if I don't fully agree with you. I am fully committed to you even if I don't fully agree with you. And marriage is a perfect example of that, isn't it? Like, I mean, you take two biologically unique individuals with different hormones and different chemicals and different emotions that see the world so differently, and it's like, hey, let's just join our lives together and it's going to be great. No problems whatsoever. I don't see anything popping up in the future that's going to be hard. It's going to be a challenge. Just don't see that happening. Right? No, that's foolishness, right? We understand. Like, there's going to be some differences. I am fully committed to you, even if you aren't right all the time and you don't agree with me. Same, right? Listen, Shelly is way more right than I am. At least that's the way these things end up. So what is, like, what is right? Like, you know, Pilate, what is truth? Well, truth is what Shelley says. So, right? Right is what Shelley says. I'm fully committed to you. Now, marriage is an easy example to understand that. It's like, hey, we're going to have some differences. We're going to work through that. We're going to process that. We're going to compromise a little bit. If you're not willing to compromise, you're not committed to the relationship. If it's your way or the highway, you're selfish. You're not committed to the relationship. Now that we'll talk about that more in just a little bit, but that is good. Write that down. I'm going to write that down. So I think what we've done in our kind of culture is that we've hopped on specifically Christian culture, like church folk. Man, we do some things sometimes that are interesting. So we've hopped on this unhealthy path where we surround ourselves with people who think like us, who talk like us, who believe like us, who look like us, who vote like us, right? We surround ourselves with people who never challenge the way that we think or we feel or we believe. And what we've done when we do that is we're really selling ourselves short on the beauty of God's creation, the complexity which he has created around it. Like, man, here's where God made us all so different. And so to dismiss somebody because you disagree with somebody, you're really robbing yourself of God's best for your life. Thanks, man. That was pretty good. That's pretty good. We're robbing ourselves. We're taking opportunities away from us. Now, here's what is kind of unfortunate about it. If that's the way that you think, that I'm not going to associate with anybody who doesn't think like I think or talk like I talk or believe like I believe or vote like I vote or whatever the case is. What you're really saying, this is kind of what you're actually projecting. I'm pretty shallow. I have a very weak weak understanding of what it is that I actually believe. Because if you believe what you believe, if you think what you think, like if you've taken the time and done the work to own that, you're not afraid of differences of opinions. And people who surround themselves with people who only believe like they believe because they're afraid of, well, you know, what if they're an atheist? Or what if they don't believe? What if they believe this? Or what if they believe that? Here's what you have to remember. A man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. I don't have to be afraid of what other people think of God. I've experienced God. I don't have to be afraid that other people think God is a myth and this is that, and maybe they're not even atheists, but they're agnostic. I've experienced God. Like, my life has been transformed because of the presence of God in my life. And I'm not who I want to be, but I'm not who I used to be. I've seen God. I've seen him work. I've seen him do incredible and miraculous things. I never have to be concerned about the arguments of other people because I've had an experience. Now, if you have not had an experience, then you're probably swimming in the shallow end, which is not recommended, right? You know, they've got all the signs, don't dive in the shallow end, and that's what so many people, they're like, I'm going to dive in the shallow end. Own it. Like, believe what you believe. Figure out what you believe. Figure out what you think, and then be brave enough and bold enough to allow other people to come into your life. Because here, this is ultimately, we are a collection of influencers, right? Isn't that what the church is? We are called to be light that shines in the darkness. That being the case, how are you ever going to influence somebody that you dismiss? How are you ever going to have an impact on somebody's life who you aren't even willing to associate with? How are you going to understand where they're coming from if you don't even know what they think? And so we have to be willing to be committed to them even if we don't understand and we have differences and we don't fully agree with them, right? So that's the first one. Again, pretty obvious. Let's move on to what we're going to call the second one here is called the covert C. See? Yeah, I like alliteration. The covert C. Wasn't so obvious, was it? The covert C. So this one is a little less obvious, but no less important. For our relationships to be optimized and maximized, we have to implement caution. Caution, caution, that's the other C, that's the covert C is caution. In fact, the title, I kind of decided to mix the two, even they don't necessarily mix, is to be cautiously committed so that you get both of them. That's where we're going with that. But this point is to be cautious. And so we're going to look at this from just a couple of different angles. Like, caution in your relationships, I think when we hear that, we immediately think that I'm going to have reservations, right? I'm not going to be fully committed to it because I'm going to be cautious, and I don't trust you, so I'm going to be cautious, and I'm always trying to figure out what's your angle, so I'm going to be cautious, and I'm going to be guarded in that way. That's not really what we're talking about. There's a place for that, right? You don't tell everybody everything that's going on in your life. I mean, unless you want to be that person. I don't really need to hear about your hemorrhoids. I just don't. I could go the rest of my life never finding out your struggles in that regard. So we cautious in that sense is good, right? You have Jesus, you kind of understand Jesus had these relationship circles in his life. He had the three that he was really, really, really close to and shared most with. And then you have the 12 disciples who he shared a lot with, but not the same as the three. And then you kind of have a larger circle of followers who were with him, and he shared with them too, but not as much as the 12 and certainly not as much as the three. And I think there's a model in that for us in terms of vulnerability, like who we're vulnerable with and who we're cautious with and who we're not cautious with and all those sorts of things. But that's not even what we're talking about. What we're talking about is caution in the sense that, hey, the relationships, I was like, spit it out, bro. caution in the sense that the relationships that you are handling are fragile, and they should be handled with caution. Now, I don't know what you guys enjoy in terms of like watching videos and entertainment and stuff. I'm a fail guy. I love watching people bust it, eat it hard, right? Now, I want to make sure everybody's like not permanently damaged, but for the most part, I'm going to laugh and then check. And so one of the things that you find a lot of times, and these are kind of funny, like if you notice it, like delivery drivers, even if the box says fragile, or caution, handle with care, this is usually the delivery. Followed by like a leg drop or something, right? And so it's amazing to me. Like we know it's on the box to be cautious with it. It's on the box that it's fragile, and yet we treat them as if they're not that fragile. And I think in relationships it's not very different. You know what? Matter of fact, it's a naked person. We give these to our volunteers. They're like Oscars, but they really should consider putting some clothes on these things. That's very, I'm going to keep that. Actually, you're the MVP. You win. So we should treat our relationships with caution because we don't really know what's inside, right? That is good. Thank you, Shelley. Shelley noticed. She picked up on it. So again, we understand that they're fragile, right? And if you don't, and you will at some point. And here's what happens, unfortunately. What's really unfortunate when it comes to our relationships is that, man, we just have a default to take people for granted. Man, I am so guilty of this. It's like I have this weird assumption that if somebody's my friend, then they're always going to be my friend. What a silly thought, right? I didn't know that like the smallest little difference was actually going to end our friendship. That's weird. So I had an assumption, and maybe I took for granted the fact that the relationship was more than it was. And now here's what's unfortunate, is we take for granted the most, we give the least to those that are closest to us. We take for granted the most the ones that deserve the most from us, that need the most from us. How many times have you, man, you've just given it everything that you've got during the day, right? Man, you worked hard, and you know you hustled, and you called, and you did all the things that you had to do, and you talked to people, and you know you were on your A game, and you're like, I'm just owning it, I'm winning it, I'm crushing it, and you get home, and you're like, ugh. Anybody else ever feel like that? And the ones who deserve the most from us actually get the least from us. We need to handle those relationships with caution. What if there was a way? Like, what if there was a way to maybe leave some reserves in the tank so that when you get home, there's still some to give to those who deserve it? We have to be cautious with that. We have to be aware that that's how the relationship thing works. In fact, I think kind of thinking in terms of like circles and how Jesus invested in people, I think you could even think about it from the sense of like looking at nature. Do you know that there are different plants that require different levels of attention? Now, I'm not a green thumb. In fact, this was according to Bob Vila. I just hopped on his website and was like, Bobby, tell me something good. So I didn't even know there was, look at these. The first one is an air plant. Do you guys know what an air plant is? How does anybody know what an air plant is? I know what AirPods are. Click on, is that up there? There, did I drop the ball? The first, it's an air plant. So apparently they don't even need soil. Like, they just can grow in the air. Thus the name, air plants, right? And apparently, and this was literally in the description, is you can't kill them. Like, they're robust, they're strong. They don't require a ton of attention. They're air plants. And I think a lot of our relationships in our life need to be put into this category. It's like, hey, the people you meet at the gym, they're air plants. Like, yeah, you love them, you care for them, but you don't have to invest a ton of time and energy in them. Now, obviously, there are, you know, this breaks down at a certain point. Like, if you feel like God is leading you to do something, have a conversation, that's different. But generally speaking, coworkers, like, love them, God bless them, they're air plants, right? And listen, y'all do not twist my words and use them against me, as you always do. It never fails. You guys are going to figure out a way to turn this around. So they're air plants. You guys understand what I'm saying? In terms of your personal investment, the level of caution with which you handle them is kind of on the outer edges of you understand what I'm saying, the outer edges of your resources and investment and capacity, okay? Second level would be like an ivy. We've all seen ivies. Ivies are incredible. Shelly, it's funny because I don't have a green thumb. Shelly definitely does not have a green thumb. Her thumb is black. She's like, everything just does not live. The only plant that I have ever seen thrive in our household is an ivy. Yeah, because here's what you can do with an ivy. You can take that sucker to the brink of death. Put a little bit of water in it. It's like, I'm alive! Welcome back! Lazarus, come forth, right? So I think it requires, let's just call it like moderate attention, moderate investment. And hey, I haven't talked to you in a while, man. I just wanted to check in and see how you're doing. I love you. I'm praying for you. What, you know what I'm saying? Like that, just a different level of investment, a different level of attention required to see it be healthy. Now, the ones that are closest to us, our spouses, our children, our very best friends, the people who we're leading, influencing, mentoring, like the people that are closest to us, man, they need the greatest level of compassion, concern, and caution of all of the relationships in our life. In fact, the best example I could think of this was from my childhood, Dennis the Menace. Did y'all remember watch it? Did y'all watch Dennis the Menace? So there's a little clip in Dennis the Menace where Mr. Wilson had waited apparently his entire lifetime for this flower that he loved and was so concerned about to blossom, and it didn't go so well. In fact, we have the clip. Y'all watch this. All right, that's it. It's on loop. We don't need to watch it again. So those that are closest to us deserve the best from us, right? They need this incredible amount of devotion, commitment, and caution. And so, again, I think we kind of understand this in a larger sense, but we still struggle to get our priorities right in that regard. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says this, and I'm kind of a believer in if this, then that. Do you guys, y'all ever think like that? If this, then that. Or, you know, if this is true, then this also must be true. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above everything else, guard your heart. Now, if it's true that you should guard your heart, Isn't it also true that you should guard the hearts of those that are around you, that are closest to you, those who you are leading or protecting or loving, and being cautious with their hearts as well? It doesn't seem like a stretch in order for that to be the case, that we should also guard the hearts of those who are around us, that we do life with, that are like that flower in Mr. Wilson's poor garden. Poor thing. So I've had this weird illustration, kind of like a morbid illustration in my mind, that when we get to this level in a relationship with somebody, that what they are essentially doing, or what we are essentially doing when we're in a relationship with them, is that they are placing their heart in our hands. Now, that's kind of morbid, right? When you just like... But it's, if you think about it, in a sense, when somebody is opening up to you to that level of vulnerability and honesty and sharing and caring, right? When they do that, they are placing their heart in your hands. Man, you want to talk about a responsibility. You want to talk about something that should be handled cautiously with great care and great concern. They are placing their heart in your hands, and we should guard their hearts, and let's treat their hearts with the concern that their hearts deserve, but more than that, with the concern that God expects us to treat them with. Again, it kind of comes back from, it always stems from like how you view the world and people and God, and it says, like A.W. Tozer said, the most important thing about a man is what a man thinks about God. And the way that you think that God works, and if you think that God created all people, then you will guard their hearts with a different level of concern. So that's the first aspect of caution. Caution in the sense that, man, we should really handle these things with care, these relationships that we're in. The second aspect of this is caution in the sense, now before I get into this, how many of you like to drive maybe just a little faster than you should? Hey, my people. How many of you are legal eagles? There's nothing wrong with that. Legal eagles, all right. Now, I do have a question for the legal eagles. Why are you going to go 5 miles below the speed limit, but then not turn on your blinker? I just like the hypocrisy. Like, but on the other end, I'll go 5 miles over, but I'll turn my blinker on, you know? Laws, whatever. So the other element of caution is caution in a sense of security and what we'll call guardrails, like establishing some parameters in those relationships. So on a windy road, again, I have a very high tolerance for risk. So when I see a warning sign, it's just kind of like, I don't even take it as a warning sign. I take it as a challenge. It's like, slow down. I'm like, oh, you said speed up? You said, let's see how fast I could take this curve, right? Now, so what you find is on these windy roads that have, you know, some blind corners and turns, that they'll actually, not only will they give you warning signs, they'll have the signs ahead of time, but they'll also place some guardrails around the outside of the curve so that if you do get into an accident, it doesn't turn into a disaster, right? So maybe, let's just say maybe something happens, you lose control, and you get into a wreck. At least that wreck didn't turn into a calamity. And I think in our relationship, that's what guardrails can be. Hey, you're going to have some problems. You're going to bump into the guardrail. You're going to lose control every once in a while. But if we've got these guardrails in place, it'll keep us from flipping over the edge of the cliff to our burning death. Because, I mean, that's usually what they're protecting, is like a really, really awful, precipitous fall. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, it says this: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Shelly told me the other day, and of course you guys understand how this works, like spouses have the right and authority and ability to say things that nobody else gets away with. And so Shelly was like calling me out on some stuff. She's like, in terms of the way that, and I'm not going to get into too much detail because it's none of your business. Yeah. But she was just basically saying, hey, make sure that you're giving the same amount that you're taking in some of these relationships. And at first I was like, whatever. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, you know, she ain't wrong. And it kind of basically came down to like scheduling and timing. Is like, I'm very guarded with my schedule. Like, you know, people are like, hey, let's grab lunch. And I'm like, man, I really just, I don't have time, right? Do you guys, anybody else struggle with stuff like this? So it's one of those things that I have to remember, that not to be selfish. Now, you can be a doormat, and that's not the intention either. There's a balance to it. So, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Now, this is kind of what guardrails start to look like. Hey, I'm going to have some things in place that protect you in our relationship. I'm going to look out for you as I expect you to look out for me. We've got these parameters, these cautions in our life that are going to keep our relationship. Yeah, we may have some challenges. Yeah, we may lose control a little bit, but we're not going to go off the side of the cliff. We've got the guardrails in place. And then it finishes up in verse 5. It says this, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. When we do this, when we consider others and prefer them and their interests, and we protect them and we guard them, we're really just modeling Jesus. And so in our relationships, these guardrails are an invaluable resource, right? It's something that we have to have in all of our relationships. But you see this kind of magnified, at least the need for it, the necessity of it, in like the really, really closer relationships like marriages and even dating relationships. And you have to have these guardrails in place to keep you from going off the deep end, right? From flying off the cliff at 70 miles an hour in a blaze of glory, right? So have the guardrails in place. We've already talked about this a little bit. One of the guardrails that Shelley and I have in place, and this is not a big deal. Like it's not a major undertaking. It, in the grand scheme of things, it's actually kind of a really small thing. But in our lives, for us, it's a guardrail. One of the things that we do not do in our relationship is we never bring up the D word. The other D word. We don't bring up divorce. Like, we just don't talk about it. It's not even an option. It's not in the language. It's not something we talk about, because you guys know how the mind works. Like, when you start talking about things, then you start thinking about things, then you start dwelling upon things, and then, like, it's all kind of like what's out is in, and what is in, and once it gets in your heart, it's an option, then you're just looking for reasons to leave. And so for us, a guardrail is that, hey, it's not even an option. We're not even going to talk about it. Do you know what it does? One, it takes so much pressure off. Like, that there is never that concern. It's like, oh, well, how committed should I be if I don't even know that they're fully committed, because you keep bringing up this language, right? And so you have this guardrail in place that keeps it so that both parties can be fully committed, even if they don't fully agree, right? They can be fully committed. But what else it does is it helps us to keep the right perspective. When we understand that that's not an option, then we understand that we're not fighting with each other, we're fighting for each other. And some people, man, they just like to fight, and they're fighting with their spouse, and they wonder why in the world there's never any progress in their relationship, never any healthiness or peace or relaxation or what they hoped it would be in their relationship. But it's because they keep fighting with their significant other or their spouse instead of fighting for them, and it changes everything. It's a perspective changer. So that's one of the things that we've got in our relationships. There are any number of things that this could be. Let's talk about, like, dating, for example, because, you know, that's always a hot topic. Everybody's trying to get on the dating scene, which has changed so much in the last 10 years. It used to be like you had to meet somebody and see them, physically lay eyes on them and approach them and have a conversation with them for it ever to escalate to the point where you could go on a date with them. And now it's usually just like you swipe. Like, yup, all right, cool. And it's just different. That's not knocking it, right? It's just the world is so much different. But when it comes to dating, let's say you've gotten past that initial difficulty of meeting somebody, finding somebody that's got same interest as you and whatever the case may be, and you're actually moving forward in the relationship, you need to have guardrails in that relationship. It kind of comes back to this, like, hey, you need to know who you are, and that shouldn't change based on who you're around. You need to own who you are, what you believe, what you think God thinks about you. Like, you need to own all of this stuff, and that doesn't fluctuate, that doesn't change based on your circumstances or the people that you're around. So in our dating relationships, for example, let's talk about, like, purity. Yeah, okay, I will. I planned on it. It's in my notes. We'll get there. got distracted by people yelling at me from the, I'm just kidding. So in our dating relationships, like, let's talk about purity, for example. Just think about this for a moment, right? You have to decide ahead of time what your boundaries are, what your guardrails are, what your cautions are, what you will do and what you will not do. And it's not just, obviously, you can look at that from a sexual standpoint. That is true also. But there are also other ways that you can compromise that you should not compromise. And unless you have those guardrails in place, you'll be willing to compromise because you waited until you were in the heat of the moment and you made a visceral decision that you wouldn't have made if you thought it through on the front end. And so we have to decide beforehand, going into a relationship, this is who I am. And of course, we live culturally in a world that kind of mocks this idea, like, of sex being for marriage. You know, it's like, you make fun of, there's movies, what was it, 40-Year-Old Virgin, and it's kind of a joke, right? It's absolutely a joke. You have this draconian belief that sex is only for marriage, and it's just, it's wild that in this over-sexualized culture, wouldn't it be an incredible revolution if people actually stood up for the standard of God that never changes? Y'all know that God's standard doesn't change it doesn't lower to accommodate our waning morality. Do I need to say that? Right? God's standard doesn't lower to accommodate our cultural waning morality. Yeah, morality in our culture, the bar gets lower and lower every year, right? Like, the things that are now acceptable in our world 10 years ago, like, there are things that I'm like, man, there's just no way. Like, you know, maybe in 40 years, maybe that's a possibility. And this was 3 years ago, and I'm like, what? What's the old expression? That escalated quickly, right? But God's standard never changes, and it doesn't lower to accommodate the way that the world thinks and the way that we're, again, two different ideologies. You have the pattern of this world, and you have the ways of God, and we need to adhere and subscribe to one and not the other. So in your guardrails, maybe when it comes to your relationships and purity, hey, figure out what it is that God wants for you, and be more concerned with that than you are with impressing other people or, you know, whatever the case may be. Maybe the guardrail in your relationship could just be, hey, I'm never going to say this. I'm never going to do this because I know how that makes them feel when I say this about them or I bring up this situation. So you know what I'm never going to do? I'm never going to bring it up. I'm never going to talk about that thing because it's a guardrail, and I don't want them, because I love them and I care for them, I don't want them to feel like they feel when that thing gets brought up or when somebody says something about this or that. Maybe it's a respect thing. Maybe the guardrail for you is, I'm never going to disrespect them by doing this. I expected, like, some of the men to at least give me a grunt. Like, preacher, right? Something, but you guys, y'all left me. Y'all know what I figured out? Maybe this is just our church. The women are so much cooler in our church than the dudes. The girls are having an event Friday called Sisterhood. And they're going to be like 400 women up in here, like, just laughing, crying, eating dessert. And anytime we try to do something with the dudes, there's like three of us. And we're like, you want to play cornhole? And you wonder why they don't get any respect, right? You wonder why they hadn't put the guardrails in place to give you some, maybe, and again, you get out of it what you put into it, right? If you want some respect, maybe you need to start giving some respect. And that's all a joke, but that is for real also, right? So each relationship, every one of our relationships is so unique, right? They have their oddities, their differences, and so the guardrails, the caution in each of our relationships is going to look just a little bit different. But the bottom line is that they have to have those things that we will do, those things that we will not do, the places that we will not go, the things that we will not say, and we've got to have these precautions in place in order to keep our relationships strong and honoring God, right? So treat them with caution. Have the guardrails in place. And be fully committed to each other, even if you don't fully agree with each other. Amen? Let me pray for us. God, you are so good. So much better than we deserve. God, we're so thankful for grace this morning. That you are a God who gives without really expectation of anything in return. God, what is it that we could give you that would be sufficient to pay you back for what you've done? While we were still sinners, that you died on the cross for our sins to demonstrate to us what love is. And we're so thankful. God, I pray that with the same level of love, compassion, grace, and forgiveness that you've loved us and shown us, God, that you would help us to share that, to express that to those around us. God, that we would be committed even when we don't agree. God, that our love for each other would be greater than the differences between us. And God, help us to treat our relationships with great care, with great caution, because the contents are fragile. God, help us to value each other, to respect each other, to honor each other, to prefer one another to ourselves. God, to lift each other up, to build up, not to tear down, to give life, to speak life. Help us to do this, God, not for our own sake, although it will benefit us, but ultimately so that we can honor you and bring you glory in the way that we live. Jesus, we love you, and it's in your incredible name we pray, and everybody said, amen.